Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Vicki.
After him, God will provide. Seek after him. Look over there at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. Father above feeds them with love, and you are more precious to him. God who takes care to clothe the flowers of the field, feed the birds of the air. Why do you doubt that he will provide what you need? Your value can't be compared. Seek after him. God will provide. Seek after him. La la. Who takes care to clothe the fires of the field and feed the birds of the air? Why do you doubt that he will provide what you need? Your value can't be compared. Seek after him, God will provide.
Thank you, Vicki. Good morning, everybody. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your great faithfulness, keeping us well, bringing us together once again in these days, these evil days, no question about it, that we live in. But greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We're so grateful for that as well, that you've restrained us and kept us from the plot of the evil one by your perfect plan in our lives. You've engineered a perfect plan for imperfect man, and we're the recipients of that wonderful plan, full of surprises at every turn. Father, tune us in this morning as we present our bodies publicly, peristomy, as those living sacrifices, to hear what the Spirit has to communicate to the church in a balanced and understanding way, so that we would not get caught in extremes of any kind, but we would stay between the boundaries of grace and truth, between tetelestai and gegrapti, the two dramatic perfect verbs that define the Christian spiritual life. It is finished, as it is written, as it is written. And all of the things that pertain to this so great salvation that you've given us. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. For the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, we pray, amen. Mystery snapshots, number 9, the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God? Is it Israel from Jacob, who was surnamed Israel, or renamed Israel when he was born again, when he wrestled with that man that night and said, I won't let you go until you bless me? And he said, here, I'm going to bless you. So he put his hip out of place permanently. That was the blessing of God. Has he blessed you that way in some way? Or did you not recognize that that was your blessing? That's what we have to do. We have to come to recognize our blessing is the weakness that we carry with us, and it is ours all the days of our life, that causes us to lean upon the Lord. Not sometimes, but all the time. Not for some things, but for everything. That's what it means to grow in grace. To be needy as you can possibly be, but nowhere to get those needs filled or fulfilled in Christ. So, Sunday, February 7th. Happy birthday, Mom, my mother. She's 88 today. February 7th, 2021. There are two major categories of Bible instruction. You say, oh, I thought you said there were seven before. There are, but I'm talking about two overarching biblical categories. Two categories of major categories of biblical instruction. The first is identity truth, which is essential for fulfilling the objective of God, that is knowing Christ as God and Savior, and then knowing oneself as a child of God, a son of God, a member of the mystical body of Christ, that is, being each one being a limb of his. Melee means a limb of his, an arm or a leg, appendage of Christ on the earth. The second, that's the first, identity truth. The second is called spiritual life truth, which entails how one should conduct his or her life as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, the first, that is instruction, identity truth, must always precede the second. Otherwise, there'll be a disconnect and disorientation to the means which is necessary to execute a supernatural life of faith, hope, and love, which only God produces and transmits to those who believe in Christ and learn how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit by keeping the word of Christ ever before your eyes. That's the only way it happens. Knowing who Christ is and knowing oneself in Christ as a body part of his, this is the key to the spiritual life, successful execution of the spiritual life from God, from Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, we studied a passage found in Galatians 6:16, where a rather strange phrase and description of believers is found. In this passage, all who walk according to the rule that is set forth, that is, knowing that you're crucified to the world and that the world is crucified to you, are blessed with peace, irene, and mercy, eleos, and then are most unexpectedly tagged and identified as the Israel of God. Turn to Galatians 6:14. Quick. We've got a lot of ground to cover here. Page 1 of 27. I'm kidding. There's only 26. Galatians 6:14. God forbid, or may it never be, that you should boast, except with regard to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's everything, what he did there, who he is and what he did there. The word and the work of Christ. Tetelestai, gegraptai. Accepting the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. It has nothing more to offer. And I to the world. It really doesn't want much to do with me either. It'd rather get rid of me at this point. Verse 15. For neither is circumcision anything. Rituals are out. Nor uncircumcision. Can't tell me that you have to do this or you have to do that to please God. Something that's superfluous or superficial to please God. He's not pleased by that. He's only pleased by faith. Nothing more, nothing less. Nor circumcision, but a new creation. That's what he's after. The manifestation of the new creation that you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All that is old has passed away. All that is new has come to stay. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Then he says, and all who will walk by this rule, peace, irene, tranquility of soul, stability of mentality, shalom, mental health, and mercy, that is relief from the disasters you would otherwise cause yourself and the trouble and turmoil that would be wreak havoc in your life if the Lord didn't withhold it. Peace and mercy be upon them. And then he says, and upon, or even upon, the Israel of God. So let's try to clear this up. First of all, the Israel of God, as used here, does not refer to the messianic Christian church wherein Jewish converts to Christianity claim special recognition or a superlative status of blessedness over non-Jewish believers or churches. It's not that. In this same epistle, Paul makes sure that we know that in Christ we are all equal. And that there is no distinction between Jews and non-Jews. In Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized, that is by one Spirit, into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. Equal in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise found in Christ Jesus. Though God intends that all Jews would be saved, if those who are Jews are unbelievers in Jesus, then they have no special status or advantage except for the heritage that they have ignored and neglected, designed to lead them from Judaism to Christ. Judaism's not good enough. It's also true that God has a plan for the Jews. That plan remains in place. That plan is for their salvation when in the end, after the removal of the church, they are hunted down and killed by Antichrist until some who hear and heed the preaching of angels each day at noon and the worldwide ministry of 144,000 Apostle Paul's Jewish evangelists, powerful preachers that are unleashed upon the earth, as a result, flee to the wilderness where they will be kept safe for time, times, and half a time, as the scripture tells us, or 3.5 years. These will be saved alive at the second advent of Christ and will be ushered alive into the millennial kingdom where they will live an extended life, 1,000 years. The greatest blessedness and with an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, likened to marriage. In this regard, Israel is the bride of Christ, the church being the body of Christ. This will be a time of unprecedented spiritual enablement and enlightenment, wherein God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, as we're told in Joel, and is quoted by Peter in his Pentecostal sermon. And the word will be written in everyone's heart, Jeremiah 31, the New Covenant. And no one will say to his neighbor, "Know the Lord," for they will all know him. They'll be watching him on TV every day and know all about him. He's going to be on the earth, ruling for 1,000 years. Press conference each day, each morning. True, as this is, these are not being addressed in Galatians 6:16 as the Israel of God. This is not the Israel of God either. See, this was the departure point of our friends at Ted Lestai Church, from which they would veer further still into preterism, universalism, and other anomalies of the historic Christian faith that Jude declares cannot be tolerated, having been once for all delivered to the saints. The truth, once for all delivered to the saints. The historic Christian faith. New schemes, as it were, and a claim of greater revelation, deeper insight, albeit subjective, and going beyond the pale of "it is finished" and "it is written." We dare not. Where all such things are concerned, every student of the word must proceed with caution to a conservative conclusion. Launching out into unknown waters without navigational instruments or skills is dangerous, not to mention foolish, no matter who wrote the books or whose theories or hypotheses they are. Tools of navigation such as charts and maps of the heavens, along with the skilled use of compass and sextant, are essential to ascertain the present position and to determine the speed, direction, etc., to arrive at the port or point of destination. The purpose of these tools is to go to new places and then get back home without extending one's trip, losing one's way, or shipwrecking, getting shipwrecked. Remember the verse Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Here's one for you today. Remember the passengers and the crew of the SS Minnow. Need I name them? I won't. Anyway, the word is the compass and sextant. Spirit is your guide. And make sure Jesus is on board, lest the storm breaks upon you and the wind shift and the waves push your boat and you become shipwrecked and ruined or marooned for years on some tiny little island where no one can find you. Thus it has been for some. In Jude, verse 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, the body of information to be believed, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness." Have you seen it? Experienced it firsthand. "And deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though, you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe." So we're still discussing the phrase, the Israel of God. "Since there is no Jew or Gentile in the church age, in the dispensation of the mystery, this cannot refer to racial Jews, whether believers or unbelievers. Therefore, it must be referring to the church in some way. whether as the new Jews or spiritual Israel or somehow as real Jews, having now believed in Jesus Christ. Not those having done so of late, but rather, listen carefully, those foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified by what theologians have called the finished work of the Father, what I call the five-linked golden chain that can't be broken, Romans 8:29-30. I believe by this phrase, the Israel of God, these are connected both racially and spiritually to Abraham, but only in and through and by Jesus Christ. Therefore, this can only convey the idea of exclusive membership in the body of Christ in the present era, the era of the body in the hidden valley between the two mountain peaks of prophecy to the first and second comings of Christ, and the second coming of Christ to establish his earthly kingdom or his kingdom on earth. The Israel of God ties the church to Jacob, the heel catcher, who is renamed Israel. You know what Israel means? God prevails. That's the name of Jesus Christ that he gave or loaned to Jacob. The name bestowed that unforgettable night when a man appeared, wrestled with Jacob. Genesis 32, turn there. I'll make you turn to every passage. See how fast you are, how quick you are. Genesis 32:24. Genesis 32:24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. He thought it was a man. It looked like a man. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he was making no progress at all. Every move he made was countered. He touched the socket of his thigh. Right there, right in the socket of your thigh, dislocating his hip, his leg. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." This is what the man said to Jacob. "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob was tenacious. But he said, "I will not let you go unless or until you bless me." Already did. Didn't recognize it until many years later. So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "What's it matter to you what my name is? Don't you know?" "What is that?" He says, "Why is that? Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God." He did recognize who he was, face to face, "and yet my life has been preserved." The word Israel, Yisrael, means God prevails. The second name for Jacob, given to him by God after his wrestling with the angel at Peniel, the name also of the descendants and the nation of the descendants of Jacob, the name of the nation until the death of Solomon and the split, the name used and given to the northern kingdom consisting of 10 tribes under Jeroboam, also called Ephraim. The southern kingdom was known as Judah, the name of the nation after the return from exile in Babylon, the first phase of which has occurred when after 1,878 years of non-existence, Israel has become a nation once again, puts preterism out to pasture, setting the stage for the final events of history, prophecy, and the mystery. It's afterward that Israel will once again come into play as God exalts his earthly people, whose devotion is finally complete after all of those centuries since their inception and existence in human history. We, like the Apostle Paul, are privileged spectators, all of us, ready to view the final things from this final era of church history from our vantage point in the final days of Laodicea, from whence we shall be suddenly caught up to heaven. In the meantime, our connection to Israel is an essential one where the ultimate purpose of God is concerned. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and see if you can catch the inferences that tie the church to Israel, which is called, which Paul calls in Romans 11, the root that bears us, which we are warned that we need, encouraged and warned to recognize. In Romans 11:18, he says, do not be arrogant. You're turning to Ephesians 2, but I'm just telling you what Romans 11:18 says. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember this. It is not you who supports Israel, or the root, but the root, Israel, that supports or bears you. Now listen and let the water of the word wash you clean and refresh your spirit. These things are personal, being as they were and are spoken by the Lord to each one of his dearly loved children to strengthen and encourage all of us, one and all. Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead as you could be. Spiritually dead by first birth. Stillborn. In which you formerly walked around according to the course of this world. The course was determined by the world, the world system of Satan. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan himself. Of the spirit, evil spirit, that is now working in the sons of disobedience, those who refuse to believe in Christ for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation. Among them, too, we too, all formerly lived in the lust or desires of our flesh, that is only without capacity for anything else, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature, in every way, nature and practice, children of wrath, even as all people are from the start or until the new birth dawns. Verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, and he is, so rich in withholding those things that are due to us, negative consequences of our bad decision. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, suddenly made us alive together with Christ. That's what it means by grace you have been saved. You didn't do anything. God did it. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you are, whether you know it or not. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What a plan. How wonderful is that? In case you think he's waiting for the hammer to fall, it's not going to fall. For by grace you have been saved. Pure grace, God's doing. You have been saved through faith, mere believing, merely by believing. And that not of yourselves, doesn't come from you as a source, it is indeed the gift of God. He has to enable it, provide it. Not as a result of works, not your works, so that no one will be able to boast. May it never be that I should boast in anything except the cross. It all took place at the cross. For we are his handiwork, workmanship, poema, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not ours, as we'll see, which God fashioned and prepared beforehand so that we would effortlessly walk into them. Those are the kind of things that he loves. honors and rewards. Therefore, remember that formerly, that's the way it used to be, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, so-called, uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, that which is performed in the flesh by human hands, mere ritual, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, separated from Christ. You didn't know anything about Christ, didn't care about Christ, excluded from the commonwealth. That's being a citizen, a fellow citizen, a member of the commonwealth, of the citizenry of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. That's the Abrahamic covenant, land grant, and also the Davidic covenant. From the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, nothing to look forward to, and without God in the world, no present confidence in God or God's plan. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What's that mean? He says, noonie, now, but, duh, and in Christu Jesu, in Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, he says, you who formerly, pote, that is when you were before, being far away is makron, far away, that means separated, distant from, have become near, egus, you become near, by the blood of Christ. Here's a new wrinkle. You belong to Israel and are in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That's how you belong to Israel. You who thought you were unrelated to Abraham found you were related to Christ, a blood relative to the Son of God, and the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who is Israel, 12 sons from a handful of mothers, the root and offspring of Jesse, the son of David, who is also David's Lord and God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22? He said, whose son is the Christ? He said, David's son. He said, that's interesting. Why does he call him Lord? Oh, he's God. That's why. You're related to God, son of God. God Almighty, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the Israel himself, the Israel of God. It's all here in the mystery. And this is just another snapshot. Is it beginning to dawn? In Isaiah 8:20, it says, to the law and to the testimony, if anyone does not speak according to these, he has no dawn in his soul. Verse 14 says of Ephesians 2, you can go back there if you're not there already. It says, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. Who made both into one. It literally says, who made both one. Who made both one, not groups into one, both one. And broke down, tore down, dismantled the barrier of the dividing wall, partition, which was a false partition from the start. It wasn't real, but it consisted of ordinances and commandments, by abolishing in his body the opposition, the enmity, and that which caused Jews to think they were better than others who didn't know that they were possibly also of Jewish heritage. And it says, himself for the peace, ours he is, having made the both one, and the middle wall of partition, having lusos, luo, having loosed the enemy, or the enmity, the opposition, in his flesh. And he says, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The law can only kill you, keep you from Christ. So that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. He truly represented all of us, as every sin of every person was imputed to him, and the penalty for those sins executed in the suffering of body, soul, and spirit that can't be described or even imagined. So dark and deep and devastating was it that God turned out the lights at noon to hide it from the morbidly curious. Verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Christ did not only fulfill the righteousness of God, but then satisfied the justice of God's broken righteousness for every single person, being himself the only one sinlessly perfect. This all took place in his body, so that by his mollops, his stripes, wounds and bruises without number, we are healed, so that all opposition and distinction might be abolished and all men saved, or at least savable, made savable in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Those who know their connection, this refers to, as well as those who do not. All connected to Christ and Abraham. Christ who died, and Abraham who believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God has done a marvelous work and demonstrated a love that can never be denied by putting on a human body, suffering immeasurably, and dying, passing on his life and eternal life to any who will believe in him as God and Savior, related to him in the most intimate way. As we're told, Colossians 3:3, literally hid with Christ in God. Those who were far away have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Whether a Jew who is aware of his heritage or a Gentile unaware of his ancestry, we have the Spirit, having been born of the Spirit, members of the body, and thus related to Christ and his bloodline. Verse 19. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. Say, some of us are aliens, aren't we? It just seemed like you are. You're aliens in the earth, strangers and aliens in the earth. But not from the citizenship of heaven, but you are fellow citizens of the saints. Who's he calling the saints? Old Testament believers, Old Testament Jews who were believers, and others who were believers, fellow citizens with the saints. Who's he talking about? Israel. The saints, Israel. Those set apart by God. A promise made to Abraham of a coming seed, even as in the garden of Protovangelium, Genesis 3:15. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints. Remember, it's the root that bears you, not you the root, and are of God's household. You have come home. And are fellow citizens with the sanctified in Christ from all generations and dispensations, all of whom were foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Don't forget that. That's very important. Nothing happens of late. It happened back then in eternity before time. Brought forth from the godly line of humanity that started with the first man and woman after the fall, and their reconciliation, and then through their believing offspring, Abel, Seth, Enoch, I'm not going to miss some of them, I'm sure, Enoch, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was called Israel, Joseph, Ephraim, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Daniel, and the others in the line to Jesus Christ, preserved and prepared for eternal life. It goes way back. that connection. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the word that has been given and explained by them, and prophets, even the Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the keystone, the cornerstone, in the arch that overarches all of human history, the arch of eternity, is the keystone that ties together all who are saved from every nation and people on earth. And you know there's some from every one of them. That one is Christ, the keystone. The line of the tribe of Judah, the God of Israel. The Israel of God. That is, the body of Christ. Not because we replaced Israel. It's called replacement theology. There's no such thing. Sounds good to some people that don't have the word, and have the rich and full counsel of God's word residing and circulating in their soul, have a lot of opinions and theories, hypotheses from men, but not the raw guts of the word in their soul. That would eliminate thinking that way or coming to those conclusions. Come on. Not because we replaced Israel, but because we are Israel, descendants of Abraham and the others in the godly line, heirs of the promise in Christ Jesus. Ishmael doesn't inherit anything. He's a son of the flesh, not a son of the promise. Child of the promise. In Isaac shall your descendants be reckoned. And Abraham, who believed God, and his faith was counted or reckoned as righteousness. Never an afterthought, but the purpose all along to save the world. Therefore, God made Jews out of many nations. And what about saving them? By grace and through faith, who took hold of the promise in Christ Jesus. Where the unsaved Jews are concerned, their day is coming when those who are alive at the rapture of the church will be left behind and for 7 years be pressed hard to believe in Christ, and by the preaching of angels flying through the mid-heavens each day at noon proclaiming the gospel, the everlasting gospel, fear God and give him glory. That's the eternal gospel. And a message of the doom of Babylon the Great, and the warning to refuse the mark of the beast. That's the three messages they'll convey each day at noon as they fly through the mid-heavens, along with the worldwide preaching of the kingdom by 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Many will flee to Petra, where they will be safe, and from which they will emerge when the Lord returns with power and glory and will usher in the millennial kingdom. That's how it all falls together. Verse 21, Ephesians 2, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, back to the church age, in whom we are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We are the temple of the Lord, each one indwelt by the Spirit, sealed as God's own possession, each one watched over, cared for, and preserved equally. So, furthermore, as the Israel of God, we are, as Paul calls us, the true circumcision. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things, and again I say rejoice. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It's a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, flesh-eating dogs, biting dogs. Beware of the evil workers, those who lie, cheat, and steal. Beware of the false circumcision, the concision, the mutilators of the flesh. For we, believers in Christ, are the true circumcision. We have circumcised hearts who worship in the Spirit of God, Spirit and truth, and glory or boast in Christ Jesus. May it never be that I should boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein the world is crucified to me and I am crucified to the world. Glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. Here Paul uses the first person plural pronoun, we, in Philippians 3. He says, we are the true circumcision. Paul's a Jew, no question about it, Pharisee, from the tribe of Benjamin, who along with Judah constituted the southern kingdom, now under Roman rule and about to be disbanded in 70 AD. 70 AD is coming quick. And ceased to be a nation for 1,878 years, till May 14, 1948, when it suddenly became a nation once again. His audience, those who lost track of their heritage long ago, when the Jews were dispersed among the nations in 721 BC, the Assyrian devastation and deportation of all who dwelt in the northern tiers of Israel, never to return to the land. Though Judah was also sent into captivity, they returned to the land under Persian rule and would remain until 70 AD, which at the writing of Philippians is about to take place. Now, whether known or unknown, each one is considered a true Jew, and altogether the Israel of God, even as stated in Galatians 6:16. Not those who replaced Israel. Paul is a known Jew, no question about it, one remaining near, having believed in Christ, and his audience, not knowing their ancestry, are also related, though far-flung, are now brought near by the blood of Christ. Blood relatives, both literally and figuratively, even legally. What do you mean? Well, listen to what John has to say in John 1:12 and 13. It says, he, Christ, was in the world, and the world was created through him, made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the legal right, forensically, to be or become children of God, even to those who believe in his person and name, his name, person and work of Christ, tetelestai gegrapti, who were born not of blood, the blood of Christ, not human blood, nor the will of the flesh, the will, nor the will of man, but the will, were born of God. There's a delicate balance that must be maintained when learning this, and surely if ever you're called to teach it. That is the fact that all men are equal candidates for eternal salvation by the unlimited atonement of Jesus Christ. By his versatile, means it did all kind of things to you. To sin, sins, and all sin nature related issues where you're concerned. Where justice and righteousness are concerned, where the devil's concerned, where your future is concerned, faith, hope, and love are concerned. That's versatile, very versatile. And vicarious, he did it for you, stood in your place. It was vicarious. Substitutionary. He suffered and died instead of you. Atoning, his atoning death, satisfied God. For the broken righteousness of the law. Justice for the broken righteousness of the law. The debt of sin has been paid in full, tetelestai. And the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation is free to be taken by faith alone in Christ alone. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 6:23b. And whether that one knows it or not, he is one of God's elect. Don't forget, known from all eternity, purebred and pedigreed, true Israel, part and parcel of the Israel of God, belonging to the God of Israel, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, the one and only Savior of all men. Turn to Ephesians 3. We'll do some of Ephesians 3. Maybe the whole thing. Who knows? Time isn't. Oh, we got plenty of time. Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, for this purpose, I'm writing you today this personal letter of encouragement and instruction. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, no higher status than being the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake and benefit of you nations, Gentiles, and he means nations, that's all it means. It doesn't have anything to do with what nation they came from. Just the nations. All nations of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham, and certainly through Jesus Christ, and through Ephraim, because it would be a nation of many nationalities or a multitude of nations that emerge with salvation, privilege, and opportunity. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship or administration of God's grace in this era and age, which has been given to me. Paul is the chief administrator. He's the wise master builder, remember? That by revelation there was made known to me, by revelation, apokalupto, by revelation there was made known to me, that happened in the third heaven, the mystery, all that is unique, distinct, and unprecedented, belonging to church age believers, only revealed to one man, the Apostle Paul, when he was taken up into the third heaven. This was all unfolded before Paul in a brilliant revelation in the third heavens, third heaven, which is the abode of God himself, in 48 AD, and now 14 years later, when he wrote the prison epistles. Ephesians is one of them. And just before the destruction of Israel, he was free to declare these truths and reveal the events that yielded this final block of truth called the mystery, which centers upon the true identity of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, identity, truth. The first realm, giant category of instruction in the scriptures, centers upon the true identity of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, which is the church, which is the Israel of God, genetically, pneumatically, or spiritually, forensically, legally. In John 1:12, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not believe, did not receive him, but as many as received him, he gave them the exousia, the legal right, authority, to be or become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Hereby all three strands, genetically, pneumatically, forensically, tied to Christ. 3:4 of Ephesians, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand, it means read and reread, anagnosko, when you read and reread, you can understand my insight and or understanding into the mystery of Christ, which in all other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and his prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the nations are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers of the Jewish promise of eternal salvation, of the blessings of the kingdom. There will be no difference and no distinction. The Gentiles are in fact Jews. Jews that have not believed in Christ are Gentiles. And only Jews are saved. Only Israel will be saved. I show you a mystery. All Israel will be saved. In Romans 9:3, For I could wish that I myself were accursed, Paul says, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons. Yeah, it belongs to us, as the Israel of God. And the glory of the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises, those are the fathers, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel, who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children, because they're Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, not the children of the flesh, who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. In Romans 11:25, it says, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in," that is to the commonwealth or citizenry of Israel. "And so all Israel will be saved." Israel will be made up of Jews and Gentiles without any distinction, who believe in Christ, the bloodline of Jesus Christ, many of whom, or all of whom, just so happen to be related also to Abraham and to Christ. "So all Israel will be saved, just as is written." Remember, he's the kinsman redeemer. "The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob." He will. Yes, he will. He's able to do even that. Verse 7, Ephesians 3. "Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the polypoikilos, the manifold wisdom of God, might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places." When I do these messages, I think nobody understands what I'm talking about, but I find out afterwards that they do. Some of you really do get it. And some of you really don't. Hang in there, you will. "By filling the world with Jews, as God has done, mysteriously, and saving so many, the elect angels see the glory of grace, they're awestruck. Whereas the fallen angels are increasingly unnerved by their impending doom, and as time winds down, Satan's plot to destroy the Jews becomes more violent, and he hates everyone that loves Jesus Christ, of course, and becomes much more violent. And as time winds down, Satan's plot to destroy the Jews becomes an all-out war, as is seen in the tribulation period, 7 years before the coming of Christ, from the rapture of the church to the second advent of Christ. Nevertheless, the mystery proclaims the inestimable, unsearchable, and unimaginable wealth as incentive in Christ. And the what he says is the with the hearts, with the eyes of the heart enlightened, which means that he turns the lights on. The economy of the mystery is a dispensation unto itself, distinct from all others, wherein the secret purpose of God is unveiled and revealed. It's the polypoikilos, manifold or many folds, what that means. Each one revealing some aspect of mystery truth, unknown and unseen in previous dispensations, hidden from men and from angels until they're disclosed by Paul. But now, for the purpose of being made known, the church exists, consisting of those chosen from before the world began. Not after, but before the world began. From Abraham's multinational, worldwide family, every person who God knew would believe in Christ throughout the ages and generations of history. It's the big picture. Every one of them tracked and tracked down by God to be his own possession, as the object of his kindness to demonstrate his grace for all to see, in order that all would know that above all, God is gracious, and as intended from the beginning, all things would redound to the praise of the glory of his grace. The Israel of God belongs to the God of Israel. And who is he but the Lord Jesus Christ? Israel is found 25, the name Israel, the word Israel is found 2,569 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, which is further proof in the gematria, or biblical numerology, that indeed we are the people of God, spiritually, genetically, historically, prophetically, mysteriously, even legally or forensically, as God brought forth his purpose in Christ for all mankind. 2,569 divided by 7 is 367, divisible by 7. 367. 3 is God's number, Trinity. 6 is man's number, created on the sixth day. 7, Christ's number, and the finality of his finished work sacrifice, and the number of the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these things that may seem complex to some, but very simple. God knew you from all eternity and has a perfect plan for your life. He brought you to himself by sending Christ to die on the cross. And now we can't boast in anything. Can't boast about being a Jew, because you are one. Boast about being Israel. You are Israel. You're the Israel of God. Not as some say, but in all reality, that's defined by God and by the Word of God in every way possible. Thank you for these things. Thank you for those who listen carefully to the Word of God, who have to be stretched just a bit in order to grasp certain things and to learn certain things, to learn new things, and to have their consciousness, our consciousness, expanded, that you might enlarge our coast, that we wouldn't fall for new schemes, new things, but cleave to the historic Christian faith and know these things even as you know them, because you taught them to us without going too extreme in any one direction, but having conservative conclusions from the Word of God based upon what is actually said and not on what people say about what was said. We truly mean that, Father. That is so important for our own sanity and for our education and glorified Christ by faith, by the Word of God residing and circulating in our souls and our stream of consciousness, which you look upon. You don't see the other things. And you look upon the heart. Thank you for these things. If I could have masters, please, Vicky, if you would get ready. Father, bless the offering in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.